In Matthew 28, in verse 18, Jesus, just before he was to leave his disciples and return to his Father in heaven, he said this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." We're going to talk about, we're going to take a break from our study through the book of Proverbs this morning and talk about something else that I believe is important for us as followers of Jesus and as part of this church in particular. Back in February of 2010, which is 4 years ago now, a group of people from our church went on a short-term mission trip to the rural western area of Kenya, Africa, where they met and worked with several of the local churches in that area. And from the connections made on that first trip, a growing relationship has been established between our church and this handful of churches in that area of Kenya. You may remember Pastor Boaz from that area came and he visited with us on a Sunday morning in November of 2010. Pastor Boaz and his family of some 40 people at that time, most of whom were orphaned children that he had brought into his home, were living in a tiny little house of about 400 square feet and a couple of other odd shacks. We were praying and talking about how we could help him and these churches there. And the thing was, we didn't want to just buy them some food or something like that. We wanted to do something to help improve their lives long term and aid them in expanding their ministry in their community. So after a lot of consideration, we decided that building a new house for Pastor Boaz and his large family of orphans would be one of the most helpful things that we could do for them at that time. So I presented that plan to you guys, and together we raised the money needed to build the house. We then sent Shane Tiller and Rick Barnes back to Kenya in January of 2011 to oversee the building project and to investigate other ways that we might be able to help them. Our church has continued our relationship with Pastor Boaz and the others in that area of Kenya and have continued to pray about how our church can help. A few months ago, we began working on a plan to help a few of these pastors who had taken dozens of orphan children into their homes. Again, we didn't want to just buy some food for them. We wanted to help them establish a sustainable source of food and income. And so the Goats and Bikes mission was born. And as you may remember, we sent Shane Tiller and Jerry Coronado back to Kenya a few weeks ago for that project. I've asked Shane to share with us this morning. Shane has been one of the main visionaries for the work in Kenya from the beginning, and he served as our representative and liaison and main contact person with Pastor Boaz and the other churches in Kenya. So I would like you to give Shane a warm welcome. I want you to notice Shane dressed up for today. He really is dressed up. If you know Shane, he has to actually watch a YouTube video each time he wears a button shirt to remember how to button shirts. It's that rare that he would wear a button shirt. So indeed, he is got his Sunday best on today for us.
Now I get the mic. Pastor. Well, it was a bit discouraging when I had about 10 people go, "Oh, are you speaking today?" And I was like, do I really dress that awful that I put on a button shirt with long sleeves and everybody knows that I'm up to something?" I was like, wow. So what I wanted to share about was, I shared at the men's meeting, a men's breakfast yesterday morning, so some of you guys have already heard what I'm going to share about. But I'm going to talk a little about missions and mission trips, and then we're going to show some photos of the trip that me and Jerry went when we were in Kenya and some of the things that we did and the things that we accomplished and some of the things that we would like to do in the future there, what our next project we're looking at doing there is. So I've got notes here. I need notes. When I say the word we, like if I say we did this or we did that, I'm really talking about us as a church. If I say we built a house for Boaz, I mean we, you know, as a church built the house there. I just had the privilege of going there, being the guy that got to go over there and hang out and kind of oversee the thing. But it was a community project. It was something that we did as a body of believers here at Touchstone. So this is all-inclusive of you guys. So a mission is an important goal or purpose that is accomplished by strong conviction. When I think about mission trips and missions, the first thing that comes to my mind is the mission field right here in Sacramento. And I think it's important that we recognize every time we step out the door that we're entering the mission field and that our community right here is in great need of being ministered to on a lot of different levels. And as a church, we do that. We have serving seniors and grace works. So if you've never been involved in something like that, I really want to ask you to pray about it and think about, you know, getting into something and being a service somewhere and making a difference in somebody's life. You don't have to travel to a foreign country to accomplish a mission trip. You can accomplish it right here. My first mission field that I was ever involved in was with drug addicts and alcoholics, and I'm still involved in that. And the reason was I knew the talk, I knew the culture, and I had lived in their country for a long time. So it was familiar territory for me to walk through. And then after I became a Christian, I just had a heart for those kind of folks. And so I stayed. To this day, I've stayed active in that, what I call mission field, right here in Sacramento. And so that's part of what this guy does out of my gratitude for what Christ has done for me. So that was my first mission field. The next time I did a mission trip was to New York after the September 11th, when the Twin Towers came down, and I got railroaded into that thing, and I really can't say the guy's name because he's our senior pastor, and he's right here in the front row, and I don't want to give him up and front him off, so you guys, I'm just going to leave it at that. But all I did was whisper to somebody that, "Oh, you guys are going to New York," and next thing I know, he's on my phone, "Hey, I heard you want to go to New York with us." And I was like, "Oh, I don't think I really said that," but next thing I know, we were on a plane headed to New York, and it was a good experience for me. Some folks, Shirley Bunnell was with us and some other folks from here, and it was just a great trip. It was a different kind of ministry. I don't think we really knew what we were going to be doing there, but we just showed up. We just suited up and showed up every day and did whatever it was that we could do to be a service, mostly to the people of that area of New York City, and whether that was through prayer or different ways that we would help. So that was my first trip. And I've gone on, and I'm just going to recommend this. If you're ever thinking about going on a short-term mission trip, I would recommend the stuff that we do here for Samaritan's Purse. It's a week, out of your life. It's fairly inexpensive, and it's a good way to get your feet wet and travel somewhere and be a service to people who are have been through some kind of tragedy, some kind of crisis, usually weather-related. So I've had the privilege of going, went with some guys to Tuscaloosa this year, Alabama. Went to Kiln, Mississippi with the same group, with Samaritan's Purse. And they're just a great organization who really has all their ducks in a row. When you show up at one of their projects, they're organized. And it doesn't matter what your construction ability is, you can show up there and really be a service. And so I recommend that. If you ever have any questions about that, Dave Elliott, I don't know where Dave is, but Dave is our go-to guy with Samaritan's Purse. He's kind of the guy that sets up all our trips there. And so what I'm trying to do is just encourage you guys to get out of your comfort zone and try something a little different. Because every one I've done has been uncomfortable, you know, on some level. Although I'm getting a little more comfortable going to Kenya. The first time I went there was like going to Disneyland. I mean, I'm seeing things, I'm smelling things, not always good, that are completely got all my senses on full tilt. They're just amazed at the things that they're seeing and hearing and the information that my mind is receiving. And when me and Rick went there, we were there 5 weeks, so I got a little more accustomed to it. And then this time, me and Jerry were there almost 3 weeks, and I'm not as in awe of the culture, but I still love being there and serving. So the first 55.5 is also the other ministry that we support here, and their vision is not so much a crisis building. They're more evangelistic with the children and stuff, and there's people here that you can get information on that kind of stuff. If you ever would like to go on a trip with them, you can talk to Teresa Kane or Becky Anderson or one of those ladies who are super involved in that ministry. So this trip comes up to Kenya, and it's 55.5, and my first thought is, I'd like to go to Africa. It has nothing to do with wanting to go share the Lord with people or be a service. It's because I want to go to Africa. You know, I'm not going to tell you that my motives are always, I want to go do this for Jesus. It's because I thought it sounded cool. It'd be fun to go do. But then I thought, you know what? I'm not really called to do what these guys do over there. It's just not my vision. And then I ended up in a wrestling match with the Lord, and I've only had a few of those in my walk with him. And I was wrestling, and I was talking myself out of going, and he was keeping it on my heart. And then finally one day I resolved the issue, and I decided I am not supposed to go. I'm not called to go there. I'm done wrestling with you. You know, that's it. And I had this peace. All right, so now I'm finally at peace with it. And the very next day, James Sellers, that's right, I'm giving up names. I got the mic telling on everybody today. I never used to be a snitch, but now it feels kind of good. So, yeah, James comes up to me and he goes, "Hey, guess what?" I go, "What?" He goes, "They're going to do some building over there." Oh, man, and the next day, I know me and God are down in the dirt wrestling again that very morning. And I was like, oh, geez, you got to be kidding me. I just resolved this thing that I'm not supposed to go. So I ended up going, and it was a great trip. But the Lord had gotten me over there for something other than this. And what happened was God did something in my heart over there with the people and the friends that I met. And By meeting these pastors and becoming a part of their lives, I came back and I've never been able to forget about the place. And I think about my friends there, you know, pretty much daily. I think about how are they doing, what's going on. I communicate with them a lot through email, And on Facebook, I'll see these guys on Facebook, and so we'll chat back and forth. And so I'm able to stay in touch with these guys. And so we, like Jeff said, we came up with the idea of the house for Pastor Boaz, and our church raised the money really quickly, which was just a blessing, and grateful for that. And we were able to go over and build a home for him that meets all their needs as a family. Now, at the time, Boaz lived in a small house, like Jeff said, and they had 40-some children. Now, I never want to mislead you. When we say children, some of the kids there are in their 20s still that live there, and some of the kids are in their middle 20s, and they're in high school, and the reason for that is they could adopt a child when they're 14 or 15 with no education, and so they start them in first grade at that age, and their main priority is for these kids is to meet their needs spiritually, physically, emotionally, and educationally. They lay down everything they can to make sure that their kids go to school and get an education, or they're just destined to a life of poverty over there. So it was a trip because Jerry was asking me, he goes, "Hey, which of these kids are Boaz's?" And I was like, I go, "Well, I know Junior is. I'm positive about that." And that's Boaz Jr. He's 6 years old. And then I was with Boaz one day, and I found out Junior was adopted when he was 2 months old. And I was like, "Well, I'm batting zero." You can't tell because of the way they treat the kids. At any given time, any kid could have his head on Boaz's shoulder, any one of the daughters sitting on his lap, being loved on and nurtured as a parent loves a child. And so it's different than an orphanage. It's a home and it's a family. And I think that's the thing that has always touched my heart. Boaz is pastor. He oversees about 500 pastors. So he's always telling me he's a big fish. And he says, "No, I'm a servant." And I tell him, "Yeah, but you're kind of a big fish servant." Because he really is a busy, busy guy. And what's happened is that home that we built for him is the central hub of the Baptist church in that region. And at any given time, me and Jerry could be at the house in the late evening, and four or five pastors would show up, and they would be in the front room discussing different problems that they needed solved at their church. So it's more than a home. It's a home, and it's also just a huge place of all a bunch of different ministries that go on there, or we could be there and some women would show up. But I mean, there are all kinds of people who are showing up there with all kinds of different needs and all kinds of different problems. And he's the guy that they go to. That's his role in the community. So it's been a real blessing to see that home provide the way it does for that little area. It's called Chemalil. Is the name of the town where it is, and that's in that general area right there is where we've been making a difference in the lives of people. I just feel like when you go there, the needs are enormous. They are everywhere. I mean, you can't turn any corner and not see a need. Can't meet them all, but we can sure make a difference in the life of a small community of believers there that have laid down their life to make a difference in the lives of their community. So we're just coming alongside them and helping them accomplish some things that God has put on their heart and has put on our heart. So the trip. So we do this time, me and Jeff are starting to powwow about some things, and the thing that kept going through my mind was, how can I come up with a way for these guys to provide for themselves so that instead of just sending them money, we're able to set them up in a small, almost like a small business, something where they can have food for themselves but also have stuff to sell at market and make an income. And that's what the vision was when we went over there. Now, originally, and I'm going to tell you, I'm 100% responsible, 100% responsible for gathering information when we go over there, and then also making decisions once I'm on the ground. So the information that I gathered here was that bikes and goats would be a good way to accomplish this. And I want to apologize to you guys on one level because I didn't buy a single goat or a single bike. None of them. And if you're disappointed by that, I'll be in the lobby afterwards, and you're welcome to discuss it with me. But here's what happens. So they communicate so much different there. Like they told us, we started talking about the goats. They said the goats are sensitive. Well, I'm thinking, what, they get their feelings hurt easy? What's up with the goats? If you tell me somebody's sensitive, then I walk on eggshells around them because I don't want to hurt their feelings. What they meant was that the goats, they'd been having a lot of trouble with them as far as their health. They were getting sick a lot, and it required a lot of veterinary stuff to accomplish that. So me and Jerry are asking questions, and we're listening, and, you know, we decided that dairy cows were a better way to go. They produce more milk. They were easier for them to take care of. They can get almost a gallon of milk a day, 4 liters from a good dairy cow. The calves can be either used to sell or to give to other people in the area, because we wanted this to be like a ripple effect, as, you know, as their things grew, that they would be generous enough to pass some things on. And so we ended up getting cows, and then we ended up getting chickens. And Jerry and his lovely wife, Jerry has a chicken named after him, and Mary, there's a cow named Mary Coronado in your honor. And Jerry has a rooster named after him, and little Jerry Coronado, Alex's rooster. So we think that's a compliment, but we haven't really decided yet on that one. But and then we found out that the bicycles are great in the city. They use them for little taxis in the city, which is what we were hoping they would be used for, is for a way to, they provide transportation and also like a transport vehicle. Well, in the rural areas, they don't use them. And all we would have been doing was giving people bicycles to ride around on. And that would have been it. They wouldn't have made any income off it. So we shifted gears. And I want to thank Jerry for being there, because he was a great guy for me to bounce stuff off of. And after talking with one of the pastor's sons, Ben, who has his degree in business, we decided to build a store on Boaz's property. And we'll show you pictures of the store. And the reason is that by buying the store and stocking the store, his church is the central hub in that area. It sells sodas and grains and sugar and bread. And they were making this stuff called chapati every day that you fry in a pan. It's like a fried tortilla. And so it already has an established clientele there. It just needed a store for them to purchase stuff. So it'll be a great way for them to serve the community and also make a living and make a profit. And, you know, so we just felt like that was the right thing to do. So shifted gears there. The final decision is mine there. And the only reason I'm saying that is, If you're disappointed, I don't want you giving the pastors any flack. You can come to me. I'm the guy that is responsible for everything that takes place there, and I'm willing to explain to anybody how we made a change in our plan. So I'm just kind of owning that. So that really is about it. One of the things that we're talking about doing is Pastor Jack has 32 children, and when we first met Jack, he walked 3 hours to his church and back. 15 years he'd been the pastor there. And his only desire was that he would be closer to his church, so during the week he could minister to his flock, to the people that came to his church. So 2 years ago we moved him, and we've been renting, really it's just a big chicken coop for him and the kids, but it's only 10 minutes away, you know, from where his church is by foot. So it's been a real blessing for him and his family. And it's $300 a year is what the rent is on this place. So when I was there, I was shown a piece of property, and when they first showed it to me, we had just gotten there, and I had other things on my mind. I said, yeah, we'll look at it, but me and Jerry were focused on getting all our projects started. We had to do a septic tank, redo the septic at Boaz's. We had the store, cow barns, chicken coops. You know, we had a bunch of stuff on our mind that we were trying to get done, and so I was looking at the property, but it wasn't really on my radar screen yet. And then as time went on, I couldn't forget about the property. And so I went out three more times and looked at it and took photos and measurements. And anyway, our desire is to purchase this. It's an acre and a half of land, and to purchase the property and build a home for Jack on it and his children. And it would be a great place for him to have garden, to have crops, to keep the chickens and the cow, to keep the kids, and just a great opportunity. And it's very close to the church. It's in that same area, so it's only a few minutes from the church also. So that's the project that God has laid on my heart and on our heart here, and that's something we're praying about, and I think Jeff will talk about it a little bit more. But we're getting kind of close to the end of time here, so I'm going to show some photos, and it'll just give you a little overview of what the area looks like and what we did there. And so we'll start with, okay, this is inside Boaz's home, so you can kind of get an idea of the house. And what was interesting, we didn't have tiles on the floor. The floors were concrete, and Boaz told me, he goes, his wife, Mama, all the older women are called Mama and Baba. So Mama Helen started making Boaz buy tile and getting tile put on the floor so that when we came, they would know how much we appreciated the home by the improvements that they had made to it on their own. And at first I thought, we're just a bunch of guys. We don't care. And then I thought, you know, the women aren't any different there than they are here. They had guests coming and they wanted the house looking good. And same principle, different country. And so this is Boaz's mother in the picture with Jerry. And we arrived on a Wednesday night in Nairobi. And then in the following morning, we flew to Kisumu. And Boaz's brother-in-law had been murdered that night, about an hour and a half drive from where we were staying. So that week, the whole family was in the house. His brothers, his sisters, his mom, the sister who lost her husband, her kids. You know, her husband was murdered in front of them. The thugs broke in a window and shot him. And so that, we call her Donnie, which is grandma. So me and Jerry would always say, Oyare Ma, Donnie, or Omosi Donnie, which is hello or good morning. And anyway, so we'll go to the next picture. This just kind of gives you an idea. This is the front of the property at Boaz's house, and that's the church. The brick building is Boaz's church, and the boys are just moving some sand out there. Originally, we were going to put the store right there, and that little dirt road is the main travel through from this part of Chemalil out to the paved road. So they're just moving the sand, because once we made a decision to do the store, we got rolling on it right away. We said, let's do it and get cracking on it. And so that's what that is. Kind of gives you an idea of the area. That is directly across from Boaz's. And these were just the neighbor kids. And so you can get an idea of what the homes look like. That's all sugar cane in the background. And so that's downtown Chemalil, where we're staying. This is the region that we're at. And the neighborhood, I called it my hood. That's my neighborhood and my folks right there. This is standing in front of Boaz's looking down the street. And so when you walk out and I look down the road, that was my view down the road. And the thing that they were doing right up the road there, less than 100 yards, I still haven't figured out why. I got to ask questions. But they had built a really nice government building. It was almost completed. And it's going to be in the middle of there. So we also thought, well, this is going to be huge for the store because it's going to have a massive amount of people coming in and out of this place. And so now they've got a little store over there. They can get, you know, lunch and sodas and all that kind of stuff. So that also helped us lean in that direction. So next picture, please. Just the children. I love the kids there. All the kids always go, "How are you? How are you?" I go, "I'm good. I am fine." You know, it's like, I think that's the only English they know, but they're learning English there. That's their language that they want to teach them. They're in the schools and overall. So that's just, this is Boaz's church that he's been working on for years. And some of the folks here that were there years ago, that thing, the brick walls were just going up. And then when we were there 2 years ago, they were just putting the trusses on the roof. And Boaz is a real visionary. He just builds things slowly but surely. And when he decides that there's a project, it's like God just gives him whatever it takes to start it. The floors are still dirt, but we call it the mega church. It's the, you know, it's the Saddleback of Chemelil or whatever. But that's actually, when you see some of the other buildings, you'll realize why this is a big church. Okay, this is Pastor Jack, and those are some of his children. He has 32 children. These were some of the kids that were home the day that me and Jerry went out there. And if you notice, they're all dressed in their school uniforms. And that's because Jack really tries to make a way for all the kids to get to school. That little aluminum house in the back is the house where him and all the kids live. So, and that's Pastor Jack on the right. And he's just a neat man of God. And when I asked about, is this the right guy to do this for, Buzz, he said he's suffered for a long time. And so I feel real good about. This is at Pastor Cosmos' house, and Cosmos is one of the pastors we work with. He had 25 kids. In a room like this, they put 12 girls, and they sleep on the bed horizontally, so there are four next to each other. And so he had 12 girls in that room right there. Little mud house, you can see it's just aluminum roof, and you can still see the wood and the mud on the building. The septic tank. This is what you guys have all been waiting for. You've been on pins and needles about the septic. We built the house for Boaz, and I think what they didn't take into consideration was that now they have a home with three showers, three toilets, five sinks, because we put a shower in each one of the bedrooms. Boaz has his own room now, where him and Helen used to sleep in the grain room where they stored everything. Now they have their own bedroom and a guest room, which was nice because that's where his sister, who just lost her husband, stayed. And then the boys have a shower and a bathroom, and the girls. And the point of that is there's a lot of what we call gray water being introduced to the system, and it wasn't adequate. So these are the fundies, which is a construction worker, and they're starting to build the new septic tank right behind Boaz's home. So that was one of the projects that was important to get done there. Okay, we can move on. The store. If you're a great carpenter and you want to go to Kenya, you're of absolutely no use. I'm serious. Unless you're good with the machete. And if you look at that, they're all tree limbs. That thing's made out of tree branches. And other than the only thing that guys like me are good for there is mixing concrete and wheelbarrowing and being a grunt, because they build everything their own way, and they already know how they're going to do it, and digging post holes or something. But construction-wise, you know, even the trusses are made out of branches. But so that was the store, and that's right in the front of Boaz's property. So anyway, we'll move forward. Here's the store. They're putting the awning on it. The guy on the right, on my right here, I think it's your right. Yeah, it's Evans, and he lives with, he's one of Boaz's guys that lives there, and Evans was our fundi jitello, that's our construction foreman. And so he had all the projects going, which was amazing for this area to have this many things going on, because he had this going, he was overseeing the septic, the barns for the cows, you know, he was on top of everything, and we made sure that he was you know, that we took care of him on the side a little bit just to keep him motivated. Because one day I came out and the fundies that were digging the hole were gone. I'm like, where'd they go? And they said, oh, they must have knew we were gone and left. So after that, I lied to them, you guys. Lied like a dog and told them, hey, look, I'm going to be around here all day if you guys need anything. I'll either be in the house or over at the church. Just come find me. I didn't want them knowing I was leaving. I know you guys think I'm a sinner, right? Trust me, was telling him yesterday, the lies have been a lot worse than that in this walk. So that, if that's what it takes to keep the projects going, that's what I did. Here we are. Jerry, is that your rooster in your hand? Is that little Jerry? Is that little Jerry Coronado right there? This is that's Pastor Cosmos and Jerry. We're loading up 30 chickens in the van, and then we're distributing. We got 27 hens and 3 roosters for 3 of the different pastors, so that they could start having eggs and little chickens to sell at market and stuff. So we're out at this guy Washington's house, the chicken guy, and we're loading up the van. So anyway, that's what that is. You know, this is Pastor Boaz in the red, and he's overseeing the funeral. We went to the funeral for his brother-in-law. And that little house behind there is the house where the killing took place. And then there, they bury you right next to the home. So right to the left of the house is where they did the burial. And then his sister left that day, and she's never going back. She came to Boaz's, and then her and the girls and the grandkids were leaving, and that's it. They're done with that, and they'll never return there. So that's what that is. This is the existing home on the property that we want to buy for Jack, and it's a typical mud house but with a metal roof. And what our goal is, if we can get the property and then build a house that's similar to what you see the store, which is just made out of metal, but it'll have a concrete floor and it'll have electricity and metal roofing and metal sides, and it'll be insulated, then we can build this pretty inexpensively, put a wall down the middle, put the boys and the girls in that, and then Jack and his wife Benta can live in this house here, and that's where they can take their meals and, you know, and everything. So this house will be good for about 4 or 5 years, and then eventually it'll have to come down, and then we would look into building another similar type home for Jack. Not the same type that we did for Boaz, but something that would be more than adequate. So this is behind the house. There's an acre of land. There's a half acre in the front, and there's about an acre behind. And this is where they would grow vegetables, and they can grow carrots and tomatoes and potatoes and squash and pumpkins. And a lot of the widows, I was talking to Jack yesterday, and I said, how many widows would the property serve? And he said, apart from his family, 10 widows would be able to work out there, and it would provide for their own physical need, but they'd be able to sell the stuff at market too. So it's kind of a win-win for his church and the ministry that he does there and the people that are involved there. It would be a blessing to all of them. So next picture, please. This is a typical church, and this was a church that me and Jerry went to up in, I forget where it was, up towards Nandy, up in the hills. And so that's a more typical of what a church looks like. Okay, we'll go to the next picture. Here you go. You've been waiting. The septic gets deeper. That's a deep hole right there. You guys really, only construction guys realize what that took. The women are just like, really? This guy wants to talk about a septic tank? Yes. This was interesting to me. So I love everything from the ladder to the rope and the bucket, how they pulled the dirt out once they started getting deeper. Anyway, let's keep moving. You guys remember Tabitha? Tabitha, the first time I went, was who we ended up doing the construction for, and we built a house for her. She had a house that had a thatch roof, and it was mud walls, and it had collapsed. It had tipped over. So with her, I think she had 6 or 7 kids, I don't even remember, but you had to crawl under the roof to get in there, and then she would put the kids up off the ground and cover them with plastic so they wouldn't get wet when it rained. And then we built this little house for her that, I don't know what it was. It was like 14 by 18. It was just, but it's got a concrete floor, and it's got a metal roof, and it's got wood doors, and it's got bamboo insulation on the ceiling, which is, I mean, that's one step from a mansion there. That's just an incredible home for somebody like her. And she has come so far. When we first saw her, she was beat up. And now she is involved in Joseph Okello's church in Kanipola. And she is in charge of all the children's ministries. She's in charge of the feeding program. I mean, it's like the Lord took her and blessed her, and that's her and two of her kids, and it's just neat to see how God has changed her life around and how she's just become a servant of the Lord. And so we went out there and had chicken and ugali. That's all you eat over there. Well, except for Jerry. Jerry's a beast. He'll eat anything. I saw him gnawing on stuff I couldn't believe. He would, yeah, let me try some of that when we go. So anyway, next picture. Oh, this is we went up into the Nandy Hills to buy the cattle at an auction. So Boaz didn't want him to know he had a car. So that's me, I'm down the road. And they also didn't want him to know this isn't trying to be politically incorrect, but they didn't want him to know they had a white guy with them, a Mzungu. Because that means that you got money. You got a car, and you got a white dude in the car, you got some bank. So the price goes up. So they hid the white guy and the car. And then the white guy wandered up later and just acted like he didn't know him, so nobody would know I was with him. Because I wanted to see what was going on with the cattle, with this auction. So this is where we went, and we bought the four cows, and they're dairy cows. Three of them are pregnant, and one of them was already producing milk. Allegedly pregnant. I said, well, how do you know that they're pregnant? Do you bring a vet out? And they said, no. Some of you guys might want to plug yours. We bring a steer over, and if they won't let the steer mount them, then we know they're pregnant. I said, oh, well, I guess that's how it works in Kenya. So just keeping it real here, guys. I don't know how else to tell you that story. That wasn't a pornographic story. It was a Kenyan cultural how do you find out if your cow's pregnant story. So you guys are the ones that went somewhere else with that, not me. Anyway, now you can see we're getting down on the septic. We're back to the septic. It's getting deeper day by day, and they're going to start setting forms, and then they build brick walls. We've got to move along here. We're running late. This is Boaz's school, and I'm just out front, and to the left is the office. To the right is the home that they used to live in that is used by one of the other pastors and his family now, and these were just a bunch of kids that were out there. Okay. I took a picture out the window. This is the bedroom window of the house looking at the school. And when it would rain, the last week we were there, it rained every day. About 4 o'clock, we'd hear thunder and lightning and boom. I mean, within a few minutes, there's just water running everywhere. And then it would just disappear and clear up. So that's the school. Here we go. Septic going up, brick walls. Moving right along. There you go, Mary. There's Mary Coronado. That's a compliment, sister. You need to roll with this. Anyway, there's Mary standing in front of her new house. So let's move on. Next picture. And that's a chicken coop next to it. So next picture. I think we're getting close to being done here. Is that it? Are we done? Okay. I want to thank our church body for supporting us in this ministry. And you know, you guys have really made the difference in the lives of a handful of people over there. And their world is different as a result of what we're doing over there. So thank you. And pray about being a missionary. You already are one. You just got to let the clutch out and go do something.
Thanks, Shane. Well, as Shane mentioned, we are out of time, so I'm not going to read the announcements for you. You're going to have to pull that off on your own. They're inside here. Check that out. In regards to this project, if you'd like to contribute to that, to this project, just make a note on the memo line of the check or on the envelope that you turn in or put a note in with it or something like that. And just put Kenya on it. That's good enough, and we'll know. But the estimate of for getting this property and putting this house on there, we're figuring is going to be a little less than $6,000. So we're not talking about a huge amount of money. And I would love to be able to turn that around in just, you know, a few quick weeks and you know, get this thing taken care of for Jack, and just watch how the Lord will, you know, use him and his ministry over there to bless people. I love that story of Tabitha and just that transformation, you know, by just doing what is a relatively simple thing. I mean, I think it was about $600 for that house or something like that that you guys built. And profound impact that it has on people's lives. So pray about that, how we can help these people out. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to participate in your work all over the world. We live in a very fortunate and blessed place. We get to be part of what you're doing. And God, I ask you would bless each person here. Go with us this week. And Lord, just remind us of your great love for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.